Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm your host. As they say, for better or worse, I'm your host, Dean Weitzman, every Saturday morning. Right here on 100.3 WRMB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. We got the legal out of the way. Folks, welcome back. Sit back, kick your feet up. It's going to be a little warm today.
Like it is all summer.
Yes, sirree. Look at her. She's so...
Yeah, I saw that.
I just told these boys.
All right. Boys will be boys.
Did you? 215-227-2727. If you've got a legal issue, get on the phone now because they're going to light up quick.
Yeah, they are. Dean, in your days in the O.C.,
yes,
in
sir.
The hot summer,
mm-hmm.
were there public pools? Did you go swimming? You went to Maxie's.
Yeah.
Tactic, as you were growing up, were there public pools? Did the city have pools? Did you go swimming when it was hot?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Remember?
Rushmore Pool. Netherwood, Siler Field.
And that day, it was a good thing they were there, right? Producer, where you come from, were there pools for the people?
Well, I think you will find this a surprise, but I grew up a little bougie.
Oh.
So my mom's job was connected to a country club. So, yes, we had a pool.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that it's one of the best things we have going in the city. I grew up, it was either Kelly's Pool or Mill Creek Playground, and those pools make a difference. I saw a great bit on it from the Department of Recreation and new lifeguards and all. So yeah, it's a good thing to have in these big hot cities, man. So
enjoy
the pool.
We also had a turtle on the front lawn.
The turtle with the water coming out all the sides?
No, a little turtle plastic thing that has a little built-in sliding board.
Oh okay. Got you.
Nice.
You had that on the front lawn.
Folks, you got to be careful, though. As we're talking about pools, I would be remiss if I did not say that pool safety is critical at the in the summertime.
Slip and falls?
Well, that's the
that
whole
too.
Thing.
That too. But, that too. You know, drownings can happen in a few inches of water, right?
Especially for babies.
Yeah. So you got to treat that. You know, if you got that pool in your front yard or on your front patio or wherever you might have it, backyard, you got to treat it as a dangerous entity and make sure that if you're not out there supervising it, that the water's out of the pool, that you flip that turtle over and then you refill it at a later time.
Now, and guess what? Now, an interesting question is, let's say the next door neighbor or the person around the corner is in your pool and has... You know,
well, you're in charge. You're the supervisor, right? If it's your pool,
yeah.
If it's the neighbor, right? You're liable. You're responsible.
Again, it'll depend, whether they're considered trespassers, whether they were invitees.
Or just walked
guests,
up on it, yeah.
Or, you know,
and Johnny.
If the custom and practice in your neighborhood is that anybody who wants to use it can, then they're not probably going to be considered trespassers. But the bottom line is you don't want somebody to get hurt, right? And we could talk about your liability. You better have homeowners insurance, okay, or you might lose your house. And so we could talk about liability all we want, but the point is I'm trying to make is be safe.
Right.
That pool should be fenced in. It should not be accessible to children. And if it is accessible to children, dump the damn water out when you're done with it, and you'll fill it back up another time.
Here's a question. When we were young, remember those commercials of all these babies that were learning how to swim? You would see them on the news or on these specials. There were these infants, and they would teach them how to swim when they were young.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of folks that's to this day that can swim. And I learned to swim at the 52nd Street Y.
It's funny we're talking about this because I was just thinking about there's two people from Downingtown who this past yesterday, I believe, down at the Jersey Shore.
With their children?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had like four or six children. Six children with them. And the mother and father perished in a riptide.
They drowned.
I don't know if it was down in Florida or...
No, I think you had it right.
Was it the Jersey Shore?
I believe it's close. I don't think it was Florida, but you're right about...
Regardless, wherever it was.
The kids survived.
Yes, they did. Probably because they were stronger swimmers than the parents.
Yeah.
And maybe smarter, because when you get yourself into a riptide, do not try to fight that. You got to go across the riptide.
The kids were trying to say that. Tell their parents this as it was happening. They were telling their parents what to do.
It stops eventually. It won't take you to China. So you just let it pull you out. And then you come back in.
Yeah, across.
Always
when
across.
When you can, you go across it into an area where it's not affecting you. But I know that, you know, you could panic. It's easy to panic in the water.
It's odd. It's different.
And when you panic in the water, bad things happen. Right. That's as simple as it gets. I remember as a young man, I went down for a spring break. And I had just gotten certified as a scuba diver. And the number one rule as a scuba diver is never dive alone.
Right.
Well, I go down with my friend Mike, and Mike is not a diver, and he and I rent a boat, and I get all suited up, and I say, listen, I'm just going to go down along the anchor line, and I'll stay here, because I know I'm not supposed to do this by myself, and, you know, you keep your eye on me. I jump in the water. No sooner do I jump in the water, I hit a riptide, and I'm like a quarter mile from the boat before I know what's going on, and I'm panicking. Don't panic. I'm panicking because the wave came along, and it hit my mask, and it knocked my mask off, and I'm thinking, oh, that's like a $30 mask I'm going to have to pay back because it's at the bottom of the ocean. And then
immediately thinking of economics.
I'm wearing a weight belt, right, because you wear weights because that helps you keep your buoyancy. You got to go down, you know, otherwise you'll pop up like a cork. And so you're wearing a weight belt, and it's pulling me down, and I don't have my mask, and I'm panicking, and I wave to Mike. That was a sign. If I wave, come get me. I wave to Mike.
What is Mike?
Mike can't see. Mike looking
Mike
the other way.
Mike drinking a beer.
No. Mike grabs the anchor line, pulls it up. It was a miracle. God didn't want me then. That's the bottom line, because it was a miracle that Michael was able to pull the anchor line up and start the boat and get the boat over to me in time before I drowned. And he pulls my drowning butt out of the water onto the, and I was in shock. I was in shock, and I just flopped over and passed out in the hot Florida sun.
Mike saved your life, man.
Michael saved
Mike.
Yeah.
Where's Mike today?
Mike is in Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike's in Washington. He moved to Washington. He used to work for me. Became a lawyer, and he moved to Washington, became a patent lawyer, and that's where he is.
And every now and then he pulls that story. Hey, remember, I saved your life.
Hey. Yeah. He that's no joke. He saved my life. But I got like the worst sunburn. Like I bubbled up instantaneously, and that was the end of the trip for Florida for us. I came back, drove back from Florida. I couldn't let my back hit the seat because I was bubbled up.
How about your scuba diving career? Did it flourish after that?
It ended that day for about a decade. And then I got in with a dive club, and I relearned, and I dove appropriately.
And so you've done it the right way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done it for many years.
Never alone, though.
Never alone.
My man.
1979, certified by a guy named Robert Leahy at Temple University.
All right.
Wow.
That's a good. Okay.
That's a damn good story, man. That's a good one. 215-227-2727.
Folks, if you've got a legal issue, the one and only Sarah O is walking over to the phones right now to talk to you. So stick around. 215-227-2727. We'll get you on the air shortly.
You know, I just think it's invaluable to know how to swim. And like I said, so many folks don't know. I don't even know if they offer free swimming lessons, but I do know it's the cause of many accidents, unnecessary drownings. And this would be helpful. If folks, this summer, if you took the time out to learn to swim, it could probably come in handy when you least expect it. That's all I'm saying.
And there are forces on your body in the ocean that aren't in a pool. So, you know, a pool can be challenging, but an ocean.
A whole different animal, man.
A whole different. You got to respect Mother Nature, I guess, is the bottom line. Respect Mother Nature and be very careful. You know, swim with at least another person.
Who's a strong swimmer.
And if you're not a strong swimmer, stay close to the shore.
Yeah, don't take any risks.
Yeah.
Dean, you were lucky, man.
I was lucky.
You were really lucky.
Yeah, well, you know how many times we if folks called in with their lucky stories, I bet there'd be 10,000
incredible
lucky stories.
We all got those.
Yeah. We all got close to, but not quite there yet. But we're all headed there eventually. But we all got close to,
but
not quite.
That's when you're really alive. when you're about to die, you're really alive that moment, boy.
And that's a different show.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, a different show, there's a certain entity in town visiting our alma mater, Dean, up on Temple's campus.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Some felon running for public office.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll be there at 5 o'clock. So there'll be a counter protest. Yours truly will be there with some folk to let him know Philly ain't, we're no joke.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Well, we'll definitely tune into that and segue into slip and falls.
Yeah,
hey, somebody can slip and fall all day today. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, listen. Let me tell you what's not a slip and fall. Okay. Well, you're falling, but you're not going to have a case. Okay. I get calls all the time. People call me and say, Dean, I'd like you to represent me on a slip and fall. I was injured horribly, broke my leg. And I say, really, that's horrible. Tell me something. What caused you to fall? I don't know. Huh? What do you mean you don't know? Well, I don't know. But I was in such and such a store, or I was on so-and-so's property, and I took a bad fall, and there must be something there. There must be.
I couldn't just fall on my own.
I guess the question is, did they actually get up, leave the scene, get in their car, and then call you?
Yeah.
They did all that?
Yeah.
They didn't call you from the scene?
No.
There's no mop, no bucket, no snow, no ice, no crack in the sidewalk, no concrete.
Who knows?
But that's the problem.
That's
the problem.
We don't know. And it isn't the homeowner or business owner is not a guarantor of your safety. They just must have a property that is reasonably safe, and I'll tell you what that means in a minute, but reasonably safe, and it is possible for us to fall over our own 2 feet. Come on now. I mean, it's happened to me. It's got to happen to most people in their lifetime. You'll fall over your own 2 feet. The feet don't do what they're supposed to do. They fail you, and you go flipping and flopping all over the place like a dead fish.
And hips give out, and yeah.
That's Parliament Funkadelic. Pete, don't fail me now.
Exactly my point. And sometimes they do.
Heavy black music, my
friend. That just came up from within. So there was something inside
He's
him.
From Plainfield, New Jersey, so, man. Hey. It's in him.
Yeah.
All right. Guys. So you got to know what you fell on, folks.
Well, how about this?
You got to know what caused you to fall.
Dean, there are cameras everywhere now. There are cameras watching cameras, right? So I know that comes into play these days. Come on, with these investigations.
Of course.
So when you see it and you go, oh, hold up, he just fell.
Right. Now, remember who owns the camera. Property owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a non-involved property owner across the street on a
ring cam,
that's one thing. You might find them to be cooperative and helpful. If you're in, let's say, Walmart, okay, and you want the film on the camera, you're not getting that until you file a lawsuit, until you have the subpoena power of the court, because they don't have to give it up. It's their property.
What about a city camera, police camera, stuff like that?
Probably not without a subpoena.
Mm.
You know, otherwise, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who wants the film will be saying, hey, I'll take that. It's expensive to maintain those systems and expensive to obtain the film of the, you know, somebody's got to put eyes on it. I don't know, you know, if they got to look through hours and hours of material in order to get you what you want. Mm. So you're not. So this idea that you can grab film willy nilly is probably a falsehood.
Because we've seen too many TV shows and movies. And
you can get it. You might get it.
Yeah.
First off, as a lawyer, what I would do is I would send notices to all those parties. Now it works for a party. Like if I fall in Walmart or Kmart or wherever Mart. I can send them a letter saying, if you've got film of this, do not destroy it. And they're on notice at that point.
Do they have to abide by that?
They don't, but there will be a presumption at trial that they got rid of something that made them look bad.
Oh. And that's a bad.
That's not good.
That's a bad. Now, do you suggest that if somebody at the time of falling kind of make note on their cell phone on what time it is?
How about that? Do a selfie real quick or something?
Of course. If you've got a cell phone and you're not so injured that you need immediate medical attention, like you know, that you're... Please take a picture of the defect you claim is what caused you to fall. You know, that makes all the sense in the world, and we all got cameras with us 24/7. So now if you are, and I've had clients who've literally broken massive bones, hips, pelvises, you know, femur bones in the fall, and they're in no shape to be taking pictures. Well, we'll go back with them to the site of the fall with a cameraman, with a investigator, and we will obtain pictures promptly, you know, before the other side has a chance to rectify the situation. But yes, pictures are you know, they're worth a lot at that point, because they tell the story on what caused you to fall. Now, not every defect, folks, is actionable. See, in Pennsylvania, we have a case law that has held that anything less than 1 inch is probably deemed de minimis. It's not the type of defect, especially for a private homeowner, that would warrant negligence. Because if every quarter inch or half inch defect on your property needed to be repaired, you'd be out there repairing defects constantly to make a perfectly smooth property.
That's true.
And so if you unfortunately, if you get your toe caught up in a quarter inch, you know, rise in the concrete on the sidewalk, that's not going to be a case. That's not going to be a case. 1 inch, yeah. You know, 1 inch, you got to get out there and fix that. Less than 1 inch, it starts to become a more difficult case to make for negligence.
And quick question before we get to the phone. So going back to pools, and let's say we have, you know, they have an in-ground pool. Right, where people walk around the in-ground pool and somebody slips. You know, is it really just on homeowners insurance that, you know, or is there anything that the homeowner would be negligent if it's just water and then just splashing
well,
down?
Well, again, you don't, it depends on what the material is that they've used surrounding the pool.
So, like, if it's a tile,
if it's a highly polished tile, you know, maybe there is some negligence, you know, because you know that that product is going to be used around a wet surface or around water, and so if putting water on top of that creates like an ice skating rink, that could be a problem. And you might need to modify the material by, you know, grinding it up a little bit, making it a little rougher, putting a coating on it, which is an anti-slip coating. Mm-hmm. You know, I could make an argument that if adding water to whatever that material is makes it really, really, really slippery, then it's the inappropriate material to be used around a pool. And maybe the manufacturer and maybe the installer, maybe if, you know, maybe one of those folks who should know better, maybe they are going to have some liability as well. That's why you need to get to, you know, an attorney, probably this attorney.
Yes.
I don't know what he's doing over there.
Something for me.
Okay. All right. Let's get a caller on the line.
Why don't we?
Why don't we? How about line five? Janine, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for giving us a call. Is this your first time calling Court Radio?
Yes, it is.
Well, we're pleased to have you with us today. What's your question?
Thank you very much. So I want to file for a divorce. Me and my husband have been married for 24 years. We've been separated for 3 years. But he will not give me his address.
You know where? Do you know where he works?
No.
Hmm. You don't know where he works. You don't know where he lives. You know, that sounds like a job for a private investigator. The answer is you need his address. You got to serve him with the complaint, with the lawsuit. Which is why I caution folks, like, you know, who just put this off forever and ever. 3 years, not that big a deal. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I've been separated for 32 years and I want to get a divorce. And I'm like, whoa, 32 years. Where is he? I don't know. What city is he in? I don't know.
Is he alive?
I don't know. I don't know nothing. I don't know. And that makes it almost impossible. So 3 years, not that big a deal, but you should probably hire yourself a private investigator who will get you an address.
Like any information you have on Social Security number, all of that stuff. Date of birth.
Yeah.
All of that can be researched.
I have his date of birth. I have his Social Security number.
Yeah, they'll find
him. That's going to help. They'll find
him. We don't have anything together. Like our children are grown. We have grandkids.
You're telling me his granddaughter don't know where he lives?
Like nobody knows?
She's only five.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in any event, you need the address, and you should start not with a lawyer, but start with a private investigator to try to get that. Or go to a lawyer, and the lawyer will hire a private investigator one way or the other. You need to get an address.
Philip Marlowe.
Okay.
Janine, thanks. Cool. And listen, you know, we don't do domestic relations at My Philly Lawyer, but we have a cadre, a team of networked attorneys that work with us that do. So by all means, if you don't have a lawyer yet, give my friend Jay Berger a call on Monday, and Jay will hook you up with somebody who can help you on this.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
You're welcome, Janine. Yep. Take care, dear.
Wow. I didn't think about 32 years.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is, if he's alive.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
And there, you know, people are afraid because, like in Pennsylvania, you cannot necessarily
disinherit
a spouse,
mm-hmm.
even though they've abandoned you and you've not been together for decades. They can still come in, create havoc, and snatch up to a third of your estate. Once you're married, if you don't become divorced and you die, the surviving spouse comes in and puts a claim for their spousal share to your estate. You could have $1 million estate. They could get $333,000 because you never filed for a divorce.
Even with a will.
You want to know who never got a divorce? Founding father Ben Franklin.
Did he ever get married?
Yes. She went to England, never would give him a divorce.
Oh.
That's a true story.
I wonder if, you know, the surviving spouse took her her spousal share.
That's a good question.
215-227-2727. Let's talk to William.
Hey, William.
Line 3.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
William, we're fine, thank you. How about yourself?
Still have a little problems going on. Had squatter in my house for almost 2 years, finally got them out. While they were in there, I called the utility companies, told them to cut the water off because she had some kind of phony lease, and I let them know. They refused to cut the water off. After they're out of the house now, the city wants me to pay for the water use for them.
Yeah.
And then they want to put a lien up on my property because they would not cut the water off. The city wouldn't.
Yeah, because water follows the property, not the tenant.
I've been through this, man. Yeah, it is a problem with squatters, man. Squatters' rights is real, Dean.
Yes.
They can scream that, and police officers won't intervene. Legalities won't intervene. It gets really technical. I feel for you, man.
Yeah, but is there something he can do?
You got to hang in there. It is a tough fight, especially if they've been able to get stuff mailed to them, to that property, and you, in their name.
How much is the amount that you owe?
Yeah.
$1,500.
Yeah,
it, it takes a legal fight, man. You're going to have to get an attorney.
Well, I guess the question is,
you can't
get
an attorney for $1,500.
It's that much of a pain. It is.
But if he gave them notice to turn off the water.
Yeah, but I don't know that they're legally allowed to turn off the
water. What they're concerned about because of the iffiness.
Yeah, because there's people living in there.
Right, there are people there with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they can turn off the water. But I think a judge wouldn't enforce it. I think if they ever sued you, and they probably won't, but if they ever sued you and brought you to court, you have a compelling defense.
But but the lien is on the property, so they won't even try to take it until he sells the house or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what finally got these people out of the house. It was TV coverage. That's what really.
Well, they're out.
Okay, but that's how much of a pain it was, man.
Yeah, they're out there.
Hey,
they left them a bill.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. After they were out of the house, do you believe this or not? The city gave them a 3-hour window to go back in there to retrieve their items.
I believe
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's basically just like an eviction.
Exactly.
I just don't believe the city of Philadelphia and the mayor just now signed.
It wouldn't just be. It would be any city though.
It'd be
anywhere you go.
Well, practically, but definitely in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania. Basically, getting a squatter out is you have to go through the eviction process.
It is a process.
And that's part of the process that they get, that they can go back in and get their stuff.
I've heard of squatters that have just won out and won the property just by sheer attrition, just outweighed them. Yeah.
So what? At this point, there's a lien against the property, William. Are you planning to fix the property up, sell it? What are you planning to do with it?
Yeah, I plan on keeping my property. I mean, it was my mother's first home when she bought this back in the 40s.
Good for you.
And she left it to me.
Are you staying in it?
No, I'm not staying there.
So you're going to rent it out or something?
Yes, I'm thinking about renting it out.
Airbnb or something, yeah.
Yeah, does it need some work to get fixed up, or is it rentable now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, they tore it up, you know.
Oh,
so, I mean, you know, just all these bills is coming on me because, I think the city is complicit in helping them steal people's homes. And that's on me. That's where I feel.
I don't disagree with you. I would feel the same way probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right, William, thanks for giving us a call and sharing your story.
You got a good case, man. It's a point. It's fear when it comes to squatters that people are afraid to act. That's what it is.
Yeah. How would you act?
We got on Fox News, and we got it was Cody Anderson's old house, and we got him out of there. I'm bam, please.
215-227-2727. Tell us your story. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected,
We will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Weitzman Orchestra.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRMB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yes, sirree. We are the legal team for your legal needs.
Legal team in your dreams.
Legal team in your dreams. Where'd you get that one from? Say if the Plainfield Pit Bull.
He's pulling off of the Dream Team.
Yeah.
We are tackling some legal issues today about slip and falls. If you've ever been involved in a slip and fall, you know that you really can get seriously injured, messed up, sometimes for life, from the injuries you can sustain just falling from height. You know, like a
ladder.
Your own 2 feet. You know, that level of height, just falling back, broken bones happen, especially as you get older. Arms, legs, elbows, knees, the list is endless. And we've represented a lot of people over the years. And sometimes slip and fall cases are the ones that we get the largest verdicts or the largest settlements.
They seem so nuanced, though. You got to know every little nook and cranny of this. Who owns what? What part of the property are you responsible for? Who's responsible for this? The street, the sidewalk. A guy with a ladder is preparing something on the side of your house. It doesn't matter whose ladder it is. If it, all types of little things.
It can. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It can get nuanced. And you bring up a great point as to sidewalks. Let's get Arlene on the phone on line 5.
Morning, Arlene.
Good morning.
Good morning. You sound surprised I chose you. How are you, Arlene?
I'm okay.
You asked what might be the best question of the day. So of course we're going to get you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. What's your question?
My question, well, this is not a slip and fall, this is a trip and fall. And I listened to you when you was mentioning it was more than an inch. You might not have a subtle, you can't file anything. I say it was about a half an inch, and I tripped over a crack. And it was clean and everything. I just didn't see it. Now, my question is, the property, it was a football field or a soccer field on one side of the gate. And a church, I think the church owns it as a block far. And then I tripped over a crack, I think was about less than an inch, and I fell forward, hands first, but I still landed on my butt and everything, and it hurt my back. I thought it was nothing. I thought it was something I could brush it off, get up. But as time proceeded, during the week, my back started aching, and I did with the doctors, but they said it's something they can do. It seemed like you got to break a bone to get a settlement. Is that true?
Okay, so you packed in a lot in there, and I'm going to unpack it for you. First off, who owns the sidewalk in front of your home? That's a great question. Who owns a sidewalk? That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And whether I can sue for a quarter inch or a half inch is also another great question. So first off, if you know who the property owner is, then that ownership is not in question. The sidewalks in front of our own homes are our property. Mm-hmm. Okay? They may get poured when the neighborhood got built originally by the city of Philadelphia, but they are deeded with the home. They are part of the home. Now, will the city have any responsibility for that sidewalk? Yes, they may be secondarily responsible. So I have had situations where the homeowner failed to maintain homeowner's insurance on their property, and their property was, let's say, the sidewalk was lifted up because of a tree root. And I have sued the city, and the city is responsible under those circumstances, even though that sidewalk belongs to the homeowner. But the city is responsible under those circumstances on a secondary basis. Primary basis, homeowner. The other question is who, literally, I don't know who owns this property. That may require you to get an expert. And this is something the lawyer would do, of course, but we will hire an expert who will determine property lines. Mm-hmm. So they literally get out there with deeds in hand and those machines they use to follow the lines, and they will determine who the legal owner of a piece of land is. And that's sometimes required because sometimes it's right on or near the property line and you just simply don't know which of the property owners is responsible for that defect.
You know what comes up with this? Trees. Who's responsible for what tree? If a branch fell on somebody or something, your side, their side, that is it on your property? Who's responsible for the tree?
Exactly. And you need to know where that tree sits. On whose property is the roots?
No matter who planted the tree, how long the tree was there, none of
Listen,
that stuff, man.
You can argue that on a tree, if you got a limb extending over one property.
Oh, God, this comes over up a lot.
And the roots of the tree are on another property.
Right.
Does the homeowner who's
the branches.
Where the branch is hanging over, does he have an obligation to trim that back? Because it's over his property. Or is it the responsibility? And sometimes the lawyer will sue both parties and allow those parties to begin pointing the finger at each other.
Mm.
As long as you have all the responsible parties in the lawsuit, then you're safe. It's when you forget
I've seen
to
real put arguments one. Over this, man.
Oh, yeah.
So the next question that
you, and we've by the way, and again, we've done it all. Mm-hmm. You know, we what I just described to you about the tree on one property
yes,
and the branch
yes.
on another. I've got a woman who we got a $750,000 jury verdict in Delaware County because she was severely injured by a falling tree branch, and that was the circumstance.
Wow.
So
far as her falling, the crack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Half an inch, right? Whatever.
She admittedly states that she doesn't think it's an inch defect. And as I started the show, it isn't your injury that's keeping you from having a claim, Arlene. It's the defect. The defect isn't big enough because, the law states that a defect less than an inch is deemed de minimis. Mm-hmm. It's not something a property owner has an obligation to repair. There's no negligence. If there's no negligence, then there's no claim. And as far as injuries go, you know, yeah, I don't – it doesn't – nobody says you have to have a broken bone to bring a claim. You know, obviously, the more seriously you're injured, the – more valuable the claim is. I mean, I'm not sharing a secret here. I mean, if you've got a broken leg that required surgery with open reduction and internal fixation, and you have versus having a bum back or hip or butt, you know, for 6 months while you go get some PT, obviously the one type of case has a significantly lot more value than the other. Because you're going to have a lot more pain and suffering and permanent injury. You're sitting there with a rod in your leg that you will have for the rest of your life. You may need that rod to be replaced at some point. There may need to be subsequent surgeries. That has a significantly greater value than a tushy that hurts you.
Sore tushy.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that those who have soft tissue injuries or those who have muscular injuries that eventually get better aren't entitled to be compensated. I didn't say that. You are. And many of our clients fit that bill. Many of our clients have soft tissue injuries, which they get compensated for.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But you need to have, it starts with having a party that is at fault, a defect that establishes negligence for the property owner. And a small little defect won't do that.
I did find this out, for instance, on my property. There was a defect in the sidewalk, a crack, a bad crack. It was around the water department's that pipe. They were responsible for that. And they came out and they repaired it. But now, the rest of the property, I'm responsible for. But that, because of that area, they had to repair.
The hardest thing, I would say, and you've hit the nail on the head, the hardest thing about slip and fall sometimes is figuring out who's responsible for what. Because, you know, if the property owner brought in somebody to make a repair and the repair was done improperly and all of a sudden the cement sidewalk has a hole in it because they didn't lay the cement properly, and you come along and trip in that hole, is it the property owner's? Yeah, sure, it's the property owner. They have a duty at all times. Mm-hmm. But it may also be the people who did the repair on that property. And so you got to figure out who that is, because you want to make sure, again, your greatest fear, you didn't bring somebody in who was responsible and the statute of limitations has expired. So remember, folks, you have, just like anything else, you've got 2 years from the date of your injury. And the longer you wait, the harder it'll be for your attorney to make sure that all the responsible parties.
I'm sorry, that was 2 years, you said?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. The longer you wait, the harder it is to make sure you have all the parties responsible in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. 215-227-2727. Let's pick up on Joe on line two. Hey, Joe, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean, and good morning to your wonderful staff, Sarah, Pat Coe. I hope I'm mispronouncing your name, Pat. So I apologize.
It's tactics.
Manuel.
It's tactics.
Germantown Joe.
Tactics. Yeah. Thanks, Manuel. I just wanted to say this. You know, as you know, the Supreme Court yesterday did something right for a change. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. They ruled that that guns can be kept out of the hands of domestic abusers.
Yep.
And, of course, the lone dissenter was Clarence Thomas, of course. No surprise there. You know. But anyway,
Lord, Uncle Clarence.
He's pathetic. I know he is actually pathetic. But anyway, I just want to say Manuel made a good point years ago, Dean and Pat Coe and Sarah. Manuel said years ago, everybody focused all the time on going after the gun manufacturers. But Manuel made a good point. He said, go after the ones that supply the bullets. Manuel said that. And that stuck with me because that's so true. Because remember, a gun can't fire unless it has bullets. But nobody ever talked about suing these bullet manufacturers and stuff. I just thought I'd run that past you, Dean, Super Q, and Pat Coe, and all y'all.
He's killing me with the Petco. It's tactics.
I mean, tactics.
It must be the Jersey connection.
He's shooting me down.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah, it's the bullets. It's the bullets in Joe's gun.
Yeah.
They hurt him, man.
And Joe, he's not afraid to use it. Listen, bro, you ain't from Philly, okay?
He put a bump stock in that bug.
Oh, please.
All right, Joe, we're gonna talk about what you find to be important right now. I think that there needs to be a gun-free day, you know?
A gun-free day?
Yeah. Ooh. Like, think about this. If I want to stop smoking, right, the last thing I need to do is carry a pack of cigarettes around with me. Like, anything that's within reach, there's more of a likelihood you're going to use. Mm. And so if we could have one day where everybody agreed to leave their guns at home, I wonder if we would see less killings on that day. I'll bet we would.
You know, what's interesting is, do people really know what's in the Second Amendment?
No, they don't. They interpret it wrong all the time.
Well, no. People interpret for them. They're interpreted for. So do the people that actually say, I have a right under my Second Amendment, even do they even know what the Second Amendment
is? It clearly
is?
Says the people, comma, in the form of a militia, comma, have the right to bear arms. It doesn't say the people have the right to bear arms. It says the people, stop, in the form of a militia, stop, have the right to bear arms. That's it. It's real plain. It doesn't mean that everybody can just have a gun.
What's a militia?
A militia is a unified, organized group of men or women who have registered weaponry and only use that weaponry when involved or engaged in a militia event or some occurrence. National Guard type stuff, war type stuff, battle type stuff, not just for recreation, not just to go hunting, not just to shoot duck and deer or to go shoot at targets. It was for a purpose, and the purpose was for protection only. Maybe even against your very government, but not just to have it for have's sake. It wasn't that every household should have one, and every individual should have one.
Well, they did, though, back then. You know, that was kind of like your...
For preparedness' sake.
Yeah.
But only for that rationale. Organized as a group. In other words, there's an asterisk to that statement. It's not just plain and simple. There was, if this happens, then you can have a gun. That's what it says.
Now, to Clarence Thomas, you know, he was the lone dissenter, but his thing was, if you can set a limit on who can have guns or not, you can set a limit further, you know, and we probably should, but we can set other limits towards, you know, taking away people's guns, which is something that we have.
I mean, felons, if you've ever been convicted of a felony in your lifetime, you can never get the ability to have a weapon again. Period. Hard stop. Even if that felony was a nonviolent felony. This domestic abusers are theoretically violent. They have abused their partner in some fashion, physically abused their partner in some fashion. And that is, you know, seems like a step it's an easier leap to make for Clarence. He obviously supports the felons can't own guns law because it's a federal law and it's been reinforced by the Supreme Court multiple times. I don't know. I don't buy it. You know, yeah. He's
bored and paid for.
He's
a little traumatized.
He's stubborn.
He had a traumatic upbringing. It really messed with his psyche.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all did.
In other words, he went the wrong way with it. It's just really just antiquated the way he thinks.
Yeah.
And it's for life he's on that court. And now it's clear they don't follow the rules, man.
No.
At all.
Well, this court doesn't. I caution that the Supreme Court hopefully will at some point in time, clean themselves up and be accountable. But right now, the folks that are in there, and the folks that are in there aren't the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is bigger than they are, but those folks in there need to eventually leave office.
Well, two of them will when the next president is elected. That means there'll be two more Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, who?
Alito and Clarence are going to be gone. They're going to be bought out. They're old. It's going to be two more Federalist judges, and guess who gets to appoint two more?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be. Well, maybe if Trump wins, they will.
Yes, that means he'll have five Supreme Court justices that he would have appointed.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. Wow.
The guy with the felon who can't have a gun but will get the access to the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense, America. But I digress. Go on.
Yeah, my lord, you did that. We've gone from trip and falls to politics again.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
215.
Who do we have on this show?
215-227-2727. Let's talk to Anthony on line three.
Goodbye, Anthony. Peace.
Yeah, well, he got into the politics too much. How about Kevin?
Wait, who's that?
No, Anthony.
Anthony.
Anthony Fortune, man with the drums.
Man with the drums. All right. Anthony Fortune, what's your question?
I want to know, I can kind of figure this out myself. My niece put bills in my name. There's bills adding up to $4,000. I'm on Social Security. How do I correct this? Now, I'm coming back to Philadelphia. I'm in Florida now. I'm coming back on the 27th. soon as I hit ground, I got to get this thing corrected.
All right. All right. So what are the bills? Like, give us an example.
There's a water bill for over $3,000 in my name.
A water?
There's an electric bill. Yes.
A water bill. Is that, is, do you own the property that the water bills?
No. I don't own no property.
You don't know?
I don't own any property.
Okay.
Who owns the property?
That was just a mailing address, my brother.
A mailing address.
Yeah,
okay.
They can mail a water bill anywhere, but yes. But it's up to the property. It's the property owner's responsibility.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is my niece, Juanita Fortune, is living in, not paying any rent. Okay?
So who's the electric bill? What name is the electric bill in?
His.
They got all the bills in my name.
Yeah. Okay. Anthony don't live there.
Well, whose house is it? I'm confused.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well.
Here's what you got to do, Anthony. When you come back into town, you got to get with each of these utilities and show them that you're not even living here and you never authorized your name to be used for any of these utilities. Mm. And let us know how that works out for you when you get back in town. And thanks for listening to us in Florida online. God bless you, Anthony. Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. Anthony, we'll see you next time you're back in town. We'll be back in 2 minutes, folks. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman.
Assuming the position?
Your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning.
Things that go on offline.
Right here on 100.3 WRNB.
Hey, Classics 107.9.
Folks, we are here for your entertainment, but also education.
We've gotten educated today.
Yeah. Remember, when you have a slip and fall accident, give us a call, 215-227-2727.
Call him first, because that happens a lot to Dean.
Yeah.
He gets these calls because you went someplace else, and then you realize, dag,
That's actually good that you mentioned that, because mm-hmm. that's the subject matter of our show next week. We have our live in-studio show next week, folks.
Yeah, man.
You get a chance to meet everybody. Petco and
is it Petco?
Petco is not going to be. Petco is not going to be there.
Does he have a mascot?
Petco
or Petco?
Oh, that's going to stick, man.
It's a rat.
And you're going to see Sarah there. You get to see Manny Manuel Glenn and yours truly, Dean Weitzman. We're all going to be here next week for a live show, and we're going to be talking about people who didn't call us first.
Amen.
And what happened to them mm-hmm. in that process. But if you, I was just informed we might have a couple seats left. If you'd like to go to the live show, we're going to open the doors up for you. Give us an email. Send me an email today.
Don't worry, Keenan and Pam. We got you.
Dean@myphillylawyer.com. Dean@myphillylawyer.com. You send me an email today asking for tickets, and I'm going to hook you up with Sarah. You're going to get some seats at the live show next Saturday, 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. right here. 555 City Avenue in the big building on the corner.
Always a good time.
Mm-hmm. On the third floor. You're going to work your way up here. We're going to clear you with security and make sure you're on the list.
Mm-hmm. You have giveaways again?
Of course.
Oh, you give away some good stuff, man. It's jealous going on, man. I'm serious. See, you shocked us the last time.
Yeah. We're going to give things away. That's what we do. But we're also going to give some knowledge away.
$250 million worth of information for free.
There you go. You know, sliding back to Slip and Falls, because we have a few more minutes, I just want to say this. Even when you're employed, right, and you're working and you have a fall, don't just assume that it's strictly a workers' comp claim only.
That's important.
There are times, many times, where we represent somebody for a workers' comp claim, and Jeff Gross's office is involved, and we also have a third-party case, a case against somebody other than your employer who's responsible for the workplace safety. It may be the building owner. It may be a third-party vendor who came in to do something, clean the place up, and didn't do a good job. There is third-party, because if you know anything, you know that when you have a workers' comp claim, you cannot sue your employer. Your employer pays you your salary, and they pay you your medical expenses, but they don't pay you for your pain and suffering. But there are so many clients we've helped who got not only their medical expenses paid and their salary, but their pain and suffering on top of that, because there was a responsible third party who caused them to fall. So that those cases end up being really the largest cases that we see on a regular basis, because all the money that was given to you by your workers' comp carrier has to be paid back to them if there is a liable third party. So if you've collected a couple $100,000, before you get any pain and suffering money, we got to collect a couple $100,000 back for the workers' comp carrier, and then your money on top of that. Mm-hmm. So, folks, if you've been involved in a fall in the last couple of years and you sustained an injury, you've received treatment for that injury, but you didn't think there might be a third-party case, give us a call. We'll investigate that for you. No charge.
All right.
If there's a claim, we only get paid if you get paid.
And I need to say this to my tribe, to the tribe. We have a saying in the community, and you've heard it all. The loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room. That's why I need to call Dean first. He's not loud. He just gets things done.
There you go. Every day, all day, every day. Folks, if you need tickets to next week's live show, send me an email, dean@myphillylawyer.com.
First come, first serve.
You heard Sarah.
You heard
first
her.
Come.
First come,
so you
first
need to be
serve.
Emailing yes. right now.
Email now.
Not if now. You,
right now.
The list will close.
All right. We got a couple seats left. That's all that it is. Give us an email. They could be yours. 215-227-2727. We'll see you next Saturday live and in person.